Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. The other evening, Mary and I were sitting in the living room. She was doing something on the computer, I was doing something else, and television was on, really wasn't paying a lot of attention to what was on. And once in a while, I'd glance over toward it, and our clock sits right by the TV, and I look over there to see what time it is, and I was really kind of watching for a certain time to come, and it was showing a movie, and one of the scenes was showing a choir in a black church, and I listened to the music as I saw that part of it, and I grew up in a church where our youth choir sang kind of a black style of music, and we attended a black church on Sunday night to listen to their choir and things like that, and I liked the music, so I was listening to it, and basically after that scene was over, my attention kind of from that drifted away, and then all of a sudden one of the characters starts singing out, "Oh Lord, help me! Oh Lord, help me!" And I begin to think that how often that we're in a time of trouble or distress and we cry out those words or something similar to that. Maybe it's just, "Oh God," or "Jesus, help me," or something of that nature. And I've known of people who, driving down the highway, they are close to becoming involved in an automobile accident, and as they're going down the road, they hit their brakes or whatever it takes to help keep them from getting in this accident, or take evasive action. But maybe the first thing, if they're a Christian, that they might cry out is, "Jesus, help me," or "Lord, help me," or something of that nature. Sometimes the only word that can get out of their mouth maybe is Jesus. And I was just thinking about it, and I remember that my daughter and her husband were almost involved in an automobile accident a number of years ago. And Reese's parents, if I remember the story correctly, were in the car behind them, or in front of them. Anyway, somehow his mother saw what was unfolding there. If I remember the story correctly, she said the only word that she could cry out at the time was Jesus or something like that, because she saw the event and God miraculously spared them from being in a horrible accident that day. They could have possibly been killed as a result of that accident. But we cry out to God. And I know I've told a story a few times. I'm not going to repeat it today about the rich guy on the plane who promises God that he'll give it all to him if he gets him there safely. And sometimes we do stuff like that, especially if we're not non-Christians, we'll do that. But you know what? Sometimes Christians do that too. "God, if you'll just help me through this, if you'll get me through this situation, I'll do this or I'll do that." And you get through the situation and the next thing you know, "Well, God, we got through that mess, didn't we? Okay, well, I'll talk to you again next time." You know, and you just hang over there in the shadows, God. If I run into something I can't handle again, I'll call you over here. And that's the way a lot of people live their life. "God, you're somebody there that's just standing by. When I get to something I can't handle, then I'll invite you into my life and into my presence, because you can get me out of that mess or that situation that we get into." So sometimes we make promises to God. "God, I'll do this. I'll serve you, God." Get over the situation. Well, back to the same old routine, you know. And that's the way we go on and on and on sometimes. I was looking up people in the Bible that cried out to God, "Help me." The psalmist David, king of Israel, during probably its most prolific period, in the Old Testament era, cried out to God many times, as is recorded in the Psalms. In Psalms chapter 22, verse 1, and if you don't have time to look all these up, you might want to write them down on your back of your bulletin there. But Psalms 22, Verse 1 reads, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" Now, don't those first few words, especially those of you that are Christians, don't those first few words remind you of some words you've heard somewhere else? But here was David back hundreds of years before Christ. He's crying out these words. He continues to prophetically set the figure of Christ as he utters these words. He goes on then in Psalms 22:16, he says, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." Now, I know we're very shortly coming into what the world calls the Easter season. Around here, we call it Resurrection Sunday, and the season of the time of Christ's crucifixion. But David here is prophetically speaking some of the things that are going to be happening to Jesus hundreds of years later. But he's also crying out for help to God in the situations that he goes through. You look back and you say, well, David was a king, you know, and he had all that he could handle, you know, as far as he had all the help he needed. He had armies, he had this, he had that. But there were times that David needed more than what the world could supply and what his wealth could supply, and he cried out to God for help. There were times that David fell into sin, times that David was doing wrong, times that David was committing things that he knew was an abomination to God. And when he came to his senses, he would cry out, "God, help me. Help me to get out of this mess. Help me to change my life. Help me to be a better person than what I am." David, remember, was the man that God spoke of and said, "He's a man after my own heart." David did some terrible things, but David knew how to repent. He knew that when he fell into the wrong, how to get hold of God and get his life set straight before God. And sometimes, even as Christians, we make mistakes. Anybody here ever not make a mistake? I thought for a second I was going to see a hand go up back there. But you know, I remember one time I asked a question in church, something about anybody here that's perfect, and I had somebody raise their hand. And I thought, well, I better give them an altar call. You know what? We make mistakes. But you know what? We've got to learn and know that when we fall into a problem, into a situation, maybe even into a sin, that we can cry out to God and he is there to help us. But he also intends for us to get our life set on the straight path and walk the path. Now, sometimes we can talk the talk, but we do walk the walk, you know, as Christians. But David's crying out, "God, help me. Lord, help me." He goes on to write in Psalms 22:19, "But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me." See, he knew that his solution, his answer, was God. And today, and it seems like within the church world today, we find every other solution there is but God, or that's what we look for. We turn to this or we turn to that, and that's going to be our source of help. Now, somebody might say, well, okay, are you going to preach against doctors? Are you going to preach against certain types of people in the medical fields or whatever are these things? No, there are people out there that can help us, and I believe God has given people gifts to be able to do that. But there are times we need to turn our situation over to God because he is the only one that can help us. God, help me. Again, he writes, during a great time of distress, in Psalms 38:22, "Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation." God is our only salvation. There is no other hope. I know the world likes to turn to a lot of places, and unfortunately some Christians are turning to a lot of places today to find salvation other than through Jesus Christ. Oh, we can do it this way. Everybody's going to heaven after all, some say. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The problem is today we seem to turn our back on what the Word of God says, and we put our own words or what we want to hear in there. Again, as he seeks to be delivered from evils and iniquities in Psalms 40:13, he writes, "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver thee. O Lord, make haste to help me." And David writes again then in Psalm 70, verse 1, "Make haste, O God, to deliver thee. Make haste to help me, O Lord." Then in 70, verse 5, he says, "But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer, O Lord. Make no tarrying." Do you get a pattern there? David knew when he was in a time of need that he could turn to God, that God was his source. Now you say in the natural, David had a lot of resources, but your resources, your wealth, your whatever you may have is not always going to be the thing that's going to get you where you need to be. Our true and only solution is our trust and our faith in God. The prophet Isaiah, speaking of Messiah who is to come in chapter 50, verses 7 and 9, says, "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up." God is there to help us. God is our source. God is our deliverer. Matthew writes of the Canaanite woman who came to Jesus because her daughter was vexed of a devil. And you've got to remember, the Canaanites weren't too well thought of. So as this group, we read here in Matthew chapter 15, verses 23 through 28, "But he answered her not a word," because she had come up to Jesus here. Kind of get a little background. She'd come up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I need your help here. My daughter, she's vexed with a devil. I know you can do something about it, Jesus." But here is what Matthew then writes, speaking of Jesus. He said, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away. She crieth after us." Jesus, send her down the road. She's bugging us. Sometimes do we feel like that? When someone has a need and they cry out to us, get rid of them. Brush them aside. "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs." Now, if you go back and you examine the history of the time and all, that's basically how the Jews thought of the Canaanites. They were as dogs. He said, it's not for me to throw the blessings that are for the Jewish people, for the house of Israel, to just cast it out to the dogs and feed, to throw it out to you. No, it's for them. And that's the way some could look at this scripture here. But Jesus is trying to make a point here, I believe. And she says, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She said, "Jesus, even if you're feeding the best to those that are gathered around the table, and their dogs come up, and there are crumbs that fall off, they get to eat them. Jesus, I'm just asking for a crumb here. Because I know from you that's all I need is just that crumb. and my daughter is going to be made whole. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And I'm reminded of another place where an outsider, so to speak, came up and asked Jesus for a miracle. And he turned to the crowd after this was all done and said, I've not seen faith this great in all of Israel. And sometimes I think we can, maybe as Christians, we can put ourselves on a high horse and say, well, you know, I'm so-and-so and I attend such-and-such church and we've got this and we've got that. But the thing is, what we really need to make sure that we have, no matter where we go to church, no matter how we serve God, that we have the presence of God dwelling in our lives and we are willing to let Him move in our lives and willing to let Him use us. It is not what we have. It's not our position in life. It's our relationship with God that means something. Great is thy faith. He spoke to her, and her daughter was made whole. Even Jesus, after he rode into Jerusalem on the day that we now refer to as Palm Sunday, uttered these words in John chapter 12, verse 27. And he said, Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I to this hour. Even Jesus is crying out, Save me from this hour. Now he knew what he had to do. But even the natural part of him there cries out, Save me from this hour. And sometimes when God calls us to do something, we don't necessarily look at it as a pleasant thing to have to do. And it's not maybe a joyous thing to have to do. Not all the work that God calls us to do is going to be all of this flashy stuff and we're going to get praise and glory for our relationship with God and all of this stuff from other people. But He calls us to do sometimes some things that are difficult, some things that are hard, some things that nobody else wants to do. And there are some people that are called to do specific tasks. And I believe that there are certain ministries. You know, we had Corky French here last week. And I had lunch with Corky a couple of months back. And we were talking about the jail ministry. And it might surprise you to know that actually Corky doesn't do jail ministry. Although he's the head of it. He's the one as far as that kind of orchestrates it and all that. But he says it takes a calling to that. It takes a calling to be able to do that ministry. God puts callings on our lives. And sometimes it's not an easy calling. But when the time gets rough, we can always cry out, Lord, help me. And He's there to be by our side. He's there to help us. He's there to deliver us. He's there to meet us in that time of need. I remember, didn't do this out loud, but I was praying silently as we were in a little small boat crossing the Escobo River down in Guyana, and the waves were choppy. And the boat had water in the bottom of it, and you know, I don't swim very well, and this river is wide. And I'm thinking to myself, and I'm crying out to God silently, God, surely you didn't send us here to drown us. You know, God will be there to help us. He will be there to supply the need that we have in our life. John goes on to write in chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, as Jesus speaks, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." And the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered, and others said, "An angel spoke to him." You see, just the verse earlier in verse 27, "Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." Sometimes we may not want to go through what God is leading us to. But if we know that that's the place that God has put us in, we also know that God is going to help us through it. In this case here, it's speaking about God spoke and the crowd heard. Sometimes when God speaks to us, nobody around us hears. He speaks to us. He speaks to our heart. And nobody hears that voice of God except us in our own spirit as we hear the voice of God. But there are times he speaks and people hear it, an audible voice that's recorded in Scripture. I believe it happens because the Bible says it does. And here they spoke. Some again said it was thunder. Some said it was the voice of an angel. But God spoke. The people knew there was a response taking place. And earlier in the message, I told you how that David wrote prophetic words which Jesus uttered as he was on the cross in Mark chapter 15, verse 34. We read these words, "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And there are times in our life as Christians we may feel like God has forsaken us. That's how the enemy wants us to feel. He wants you to feel like God has left you to hang out to dry, that you're all on your own, that there is no answer. But remember, God has never forsaken us. And he will not forsake us. God is there to help us in our time of need and to bring salvation. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14 reads, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise." God is there to meet our need. No matter what that need is in our life, God is there. You know, we talk about, Word says, that he supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And people think, "Oh man, I read about what the things about heaven and all the nice things, you know, gates made of big pearls and streets of gold and all this stuff. Man, God's got a lot of riches there. I can cry out to God and he can make me wealthy." But that isn't your need. He never said, "I'm there to make you wealthy." He said, "I'm there to meet your needs." And God has met our needs. I know in my life, he's not only met my needs, he's met more than my needs. But I can depend upon him to meet my needs. He will supply them. He is my source. Yeah, I know and remember what it was like to live on when I was in the military. I only got about $300 a month. A lot of money. Had to pay rent. Had to buy groceries. Had to pay some bills. And live on $300 a month. We went grocery shopping once a month. And I remember what it was like at the end of the month. We ate a lot of spaghetti because spaghetti was cheap. But I remember what it was like as we're getting toward the end of the month and you had 10 cents in your pocket. And sometimes Mary and I would buy something that we could get for 10 cents and we'd share it because that was all we had. But God supplied. He met our needs. He was there for us. And we knew that he was going to be there for us. We don't always like the situations that God lets us get into sometimes. Sometimes we get into them ourselves. You know, don't look out and say, God, why did you get me into this mess? Because a lot of times it's us that gets us into the mess, not God. But if we'll turn our life over to Him, He'll get us out. Now, sometimes there can be consequences. That's true. But God will deliver us. He is our help. He is our salvation. Psalms 55:16 says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. That's it. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, where it says in Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's only one way to be saved from the mess that this world has gotten into. And look around. I don't think anybody can honestly say it's not in a mess. And the mess gets deeper every day. In fact, it gets deeper by the hour. But God is our help. He is our salvation. And He is the one that saves us. There is no other way to be saved. You won't find it in the Quran, where it says, call upon the name of Allah and you can be saved. It's not there. Because Allah can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. Buddha can't save you. I know there was a song years ago, and I can't even remember the name of it right offhand, but it was a kind of a cutesy little song, and it was this, it won't be old Buddha who's sitting on the throne, and it won't be Muhammad who's calling us home. None of those people. They're already dead, buried, done with. But Jesus is still alive. He's sitting on the throne. And He's the one that is there to help us. He's the one that is there to save us. And even though you might not be living in the type of life that you would like to live, and you may not have some of the things that you would like to have, it is not what we have in this present world that's important anyway, because these things are only temporal. They're only for a season. They will pass away. Your money in the bank one day will not be any good, because when you're laying 6 feet under, it's not going to do you a nickel's worth. Oh, maybe you're heirs will fight over it. And you see a lot of that anymore. Oh, grandma died. Wow, we got to get her money now. You know, happens all the time. What we have here is only for a season. But the Bible tells us that what we've laid up in heaven is eternal. And our treasures with God, what we have with God, is eternal. It will never pass away. It'll be there. Nothing can take it away, because it comes from God. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord. He is your help. He is your strength. He is your salvation. And Father, I pray today for those that are hearing this message, Father, that it would touch hearts, that it would touch lives. And Father, if there's one that's listening to this message today that needs Jesus Christ in their heart, or maybe they need to recommit their life to Jesus Christ, I pray, Father, that you would speak to their heart, speak to their life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's just worship the Lord a minute. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.